It took my mom about 12 hours to die last September. It happened peacefully in her own bed, and she was surrounded by her husband and her sons. But it took a long time, and we literally spent hours waiting and staring at her face. It was mom's face and also not mom's face. Cancer had taken its toll. Her hair had thinned, her skin was grayish-yellow and gaunt, and beneath that skin, you could too easily see the skull. She stopped breathing around 3:30 a.m., and my dad and brothers and I recognized this, and we got up and hugged each other and went to the living room to regroup. When the funeral home personnel came a couple of hours later, put her body on a gurney, they asked if anyone wanted to see her one last time, and I said, I can't. I couldn't go back into that room and look at that face one more time. Her face was already fixed in my memory as sort of that death mask. And over the days and weeks that followed, it would take a long time looking at old pictures to thaw that frozen image into the memory of the mom that I had always known. Anyway, that night, everybody else went to bed. We'd been up all night, most of the night. But I just sat staring in the same chair out the front window into the darkness till even the darkness gave away to the first light of day. And suddenly it dawned on me that what I was doing in that chair was still waiting, not for mom to leave this time, but for her to come back. And I realized that morning had returned, and morning would return every single day. And she never would. And it just crushed me. So I took a deep breath, got out of the chair. I went to make a cup of coffee, wash my face, at least put on a clean shirt. And after I had done all of that, I looked down the hallway to mom's old bedroom, whose door was ajar. And for some reason, I walked down there. Now I needed to see. I went in. Perfectly quiet, mostly dark. Nothing moved, but a gentle cascade of September morning sunshine was falling through this large window into that shadowy room and onto the empty deathbed. In that room, it was already Easter. See where she lay, I said to myself, and immediately wondered, what am I quoting there? The angel at the tomb in the gospel reading, yes, but something else. What exactly is it? And eventually I realized, this is a couple of weeks later, I realized that it was from a poem I had written a long time ago, one early Tuesday morning while I was making the bed. Pretty arrogant, Engbers, citing yourself without even trying. But I had been making the bed one morning, and I was about to flop the blankets over, and suddenly I was struck by the impression that my body had made in the sheets. And that reminded me of Easter, too, so I wrote a poem about it. I'll do anything to postpone housework, even write poetry. This is the poem that I was reminded in my mom's bedroom last September. The pulling at the sheet, the tugging and the tucking, the hand that moves and smooths, erasing as from paper folds and lines, the punching and plumping of the pillows, the stretching of the bedspread, flat as slate, must wait. Here lies an early morning sepulcher, the sunken sheet, cross-creased like leaves of tea, a simple sketch of old mortality, the shape of one who slept. Read here, your earthly form. The weary women went there, treading dew, and all they found was news. And not so much of that. The angel said he'd gone, would not say where or when, or how. They gazed in wonder at the giant rock. It didn't budge an inch. And who has ears to hear how deep death groans, when angels set their shoulders to such stones? This sheet is stamped by sleep, the signature of shoulders, back, and thighs. This warm and wrinkled hollow held the head, cradling the skull that cradled dreams. Here lay a man rehearsing for the grave. He is not here. See where he lay. The point of that poem is that the big narratives of creation and redemption quietly fill the little narratives of our daily lives. On every morning, not just on the very first morning, God says, "Let there be light." When I looked at my mom's empty deathbed, I sensed that it was already Easter. When I had looked into my own bed that morning years ago, I realized that it's not just already Easter, but that it's always Easter, even in those dull, mundane moments. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Narnia has been cursed with the very worst weather. Always winter, never Christmas. A phrase which also captures exactly how it feels to live in Michigan for January, February, and much of March, especially, I might add, if one is from Northern Ireland. Beneath that persistent dreariness, however, or above it or beyond it, is this simple truth that for us as Christians, it's always Easter. Even in February, even in Michigan, every Tuesday when we make our beds, even in a room where someone has just died. And that truth, that it's always Easter, has become a quiet counterpoint to my grief for my mom. It gives me comfort and steadiness to know not just that the dead will rise again, although let's not discount the comfort of that, but not just that there is a life beyond this life, but also that there is a bold new life within this life, always already ready to be lived. Easter is not just about when we live again, it's about how we live when we leave here and when we go back home, when we enter our lives tomorrow. It's about the here and now. So my social media feed, probably like yours, has been full of pictures of early spring flowers poking up through my friends' backyards. And those flowers are, of course, the perfect emblems of Easter, new life stubbornly pushing through the dirt, creating a whole new landscape. A little strip of dirty ground suddenly becomes a flashy flower bed. This year, though, as an emblem of Easter, I've been thinking about the dirty snowbanks melting along Burton Street. And the other streets that I walk on a daily basis, either commuting to work or walking the dog. Winter doesn't just cover the landscape, it changes it. New hills and valleys are sculpted by snowplows and shovels and wind. Sidewalks disappear, and often they become so icy that you have to walk in the crunchy snow next to them just to keep your footing. During winter, I always think that the sidewalk is the perfect name because the sidewalk is the thing that you walk beside. Spring is the season when terrain reverts to normal, mostly. It's not just that a new landscape is created with fresh shoots and blossoms and leaves. It's that the old landscape reemerges as the solid ground that's been there all along, just in the same way that image of my mom melted from my mind. And her old habitual face has taken root in my memory again. So today's Easter. Tomorrow is too. Easter's been here all along. It's the solid ground on which we walk everywhere, even in our daily routines. Easter Sunday is a new beginning, absolutely, but it's also an old reminder of what always is. Now, the fact that it's always Easter doesn't make it any less sad that my mom died. Doesn't make it make sense. Doesn't make it okay. It doesn't bring closure, whatever that is. It simply means that beneath the sadness, there's a certainty that underneath the deepest grief, there lies the bedrock of grace. That is certainly the bedrock on which my mom lived and moved and had her being. She wasn't the kind of person to put much weight on things or clothes or social status. There's almost no pretense about her. She always lived her life as if it wasn't really about her. In fact, I remember sitting in her living room with her a month or so before she died, planning her funeral. And she said, I don't want there to be pictures of me, and I don't want anybody to give a eulogy or a memorial. I don't want it to be all about me. I said, Mom, it's your own funeral. What else is it going to be about? Huge smile. Her whole face lit up. Redemption, she said. And she lived that. Facing certain death, she didn't have any amends to make, no relationships to heal, no regrets to smooth over, no theological furniture to move around in her head, no big questions to confront. Physically, she was emaciated by cancer and chemotherapy, but emotionally and spiritually, right up until her death, she's just who she was. Humble, loving, kind, relentlessly generous. She was living the bold new life within the life. We all know people like that, right? An awful lot of them seem to go to this church. The resurrection is always true in people like that. It's always already true.